In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you, who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. What happens when on a cold winter's night or day, freezing temperatures, while you're snuggled under your blanket with the heater on, nice and comfy, and then someone leaves the door they came in through open? Now, I know we may quote the idiomatic phrase, were you born in a tent? Along with many other words, but I'm not going to speak about those today. So what caused the commotion? It is the cold air, the breeze, the draft, which was allowed, permitted to enter the room or the house. Now, why did I begin with this question is some people reached out, some of the listeners reached out. And again, thank you so much for reaching out and your suggestions and your recommendations and your kudoses, if you want to say, and your blessings. We really appreciate it. The producer, Stephen, and Adrina, on their behalf, I'd like to thank you all. Express our sincere gratitude, but we ask one thing, that you always glorify God. Let us always glorify God. Some asked, Rabbi, you spoke about, Satan taking a foothold. How can we avoid Satan taking that foothold? How can we avoid freezing by the breeze and the cold air that entered the room because someone left the door open? You see, it's the same. We can say the same about the devil, Satan, and us. See, we have the armor that have been graced by God, as mentioned by St. Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 8. They, we can say, are the doors, the walls, the fortresses that keep Satan and his wiles, his stratagems, his deceitfulness at a distance. Though he makes every attempt to find ways, loopholes, opportunities to enter our hearts, minds, will, desires through his vile, his stratagem, which is a device to capture the enemy by his trickery. You know, I remember when when we would do something wrong and mum would get up to, spank and use the bakhushta or the flip-flop, the chikalta. I have to be careful when I say flip-flop because in Australia we say something else which is not appropriate in the United States. I remember when I came to the United States and I would use the Australian term of flip-flop, and I used to get these frowning looks, and I thought, why are you frowning at me? Well, I said, Rabbi, that's not a good word. Anyway, so the chikalta, right? And what you do, you'd run away. And then I escaped the beating. And then mum would have this strategy. She would pretend that she's forgotten. She would talk to you and, try to lure you. And then when you thought everything's okay, all quiet at the Western Front, once you entered the house and you got close to mum, and then smack would come the slap or the flip-flop. You know, Satan has a stratagem, and that strategy is a device to capture the enemy by his trickery. And who are his enemies? We are his enemies. You see, the devil does not openly display sins to man or woman. He does not suggest that a man or a woman practice idolatry, prostitution, homosexuality, murder. No, but he prepares these things in a roundabout manner, covering his wickedness. And by making his suggestions seem plausible, he makes us ready to commit these very sins, according to the writings of the Blessed Theophylact. And that's why St. Paul urges us not to sleep, not to be complacent, not to be lax. This is our problem. O you who believe in the Trinity, that is you, this is your problem. This is our weakness. This is our shortfall. This is our issue. That we are laxed. We sleep. We're in our comfort zone, complacent, and we're careless. But St. Paul writes to us, urging us, begging us at times not to be asleep and be careless, but to be awake and eager for the unseen warfare against the enemy, which is Satan and his demons. Why? He writes in Ephesians 6, because our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of the darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness under the heavenly places, against the attempt, the stratagem, the deceitfulness, craftiness, the attempt to defile the minds of our dear children, innocent children, with drag queens at schools reading books, with principals openly announcing to innocent and young children that they are gay and lesbian, homosexual, quarter-sexual, bisexual, pentasexual, and it goes on and on and on, right? This is our warfare, beloved. So since our battle is not against flesh, so too the weapons of our campaign, our attack, are not flesh, but are directed at those deceivers that are from of old, the demons. And there is a holy war that must also be waged against every sin, beloved, against Satan and his army. So the question is, how do we fight this battle so that we do not give Satan the foothold? Off the bat, no need to go picket and glue your hands onto streets and sit in every freeways blocking traffic and throwing coloured dust onto tennis courts, snooker tables, or running naked on a stage or in an arena. No, we don't need to do that. What we need to do is not fret. By the way, la talqa illan, we say in Assyrian. Don't get discouraged quickly and, oh, what am I going to do? No. We are the children of light. We've been empowered. We are told to put on all. That's the problem. All, not only those armors of God that suit us best, those that suit our lifestyles, our philosophy in life. No, we are to put every armor of God, according to St. Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. Put on, gird ourselves, take it on and put it on, and be constantly equipped and clothed with these armors. And the first and foremost, and this is going to be a few series, we're going to talk about this in a few episodes. What I'd want to talk about today is what Paul says first: gird our loins with truth. This is the first thing he says. This is the armor, is girding. There's a belt. Now, what are the loins? And I don't want to go into too much into human anatomy and biology. No, simply the loins, also known as the lumbus, are the sides between the lower ribs and pelvis and the lower part of the back. And St. John Chrysostom, the blessed St. John Chrysostom, the church father, writes, just like the kneel, or the keel, sorry, just like the keel, that is a fin upside down on the bottom of a ship, the loins are the central balancing support of our whole body. They are a kind of foundation. All is built upon from them. Now, the girdle, as I said, is a belt that goes around the loins or around the waist. And what does it do? It secures the strength within us. You've seen bodybuilders when they're doing their workout, when they're lifting weights, they put this belt on and they make it so tight, right? And it gives them that strength to have the strength to lift up the 20,000 gazillion pounds of weights, whatever it is. You've seen when they're on the stage, they're showing off their body, the bodybuilders, they grasp or they hold onto their loins and then they start pumping themselves and you see the muscles start appearing, right? That's the strength. So what St. Paul is saying, listen, you need to strengthen yourself. Your strength, both physical and spiritual, but I would say more physical at first, because if your physicality is weak and is flawed, then the spiritual is affected as well. If we have evil desires, evil fleshly desires, gentlemen, when you get on the internet and social media to start searching for videos and pictures to satisfy your evil and your bodily desires, right? Then the spirit is yearning and crying out, no, no, don't do that. But because you're fleshly weak. So we are to gird ourselves with truth. And what is truth? What is he talking about, truth? That you never lie? That you always say what is right? Well, Paul is referring to, according to church fathers, the right faith along with the right doctrine, creed. We're not going to go too much into the creed. We'll do that next episode. But the right faith, the true faith, the faith. Now, what is faith? What is faith? Believing. Well, that's faith, obviously. But what? What is faith? What is this process of believing? It is a complete trust, confidence, unwavering assurance, certainty, consistency in someone or something uninfluenced by human reason. St. John Chrysostom quotes or writes, faith supersedes human reason and is penetrate as it penetrates the invisible substance of things. You know what that means? How can a man be inside of a fish or a whale for 3 days and not be digested? That's ridiculous. That's beyond human reason, right? Well, let me pose you this question. You sit your children before the television and they witnessed Geppetto being swallowed by a fish with, was it Cleo? I think that was his cat, Cleo. Vigoro. And then Pinocchio dives into the ocean and goes into the whale and he sees that, hey, Pinocchio is still alive. Maybe there's a subliminal biblical message there, right? How can that be? How can a donkey speak, but we pay hundreds of dollars to enter into, Universal Studios, and we watch the animal show, and we see rats come out from one side of the stage to the other side of the stage, and we applaud and we are in awe. Oh, wow. We see an eagle fly from its trainer's hand to the person who's holding the dollar note. Yes, I've seen it. And then we all clap and wow, right? So if human beings have control over animals and they can train animals to do what they want, you fool. What about God, the creator of that human being and the animals and everything that we see and don't see? Everything tangible and non-tangible. Nothing is impossible with God. Yes, and faith supersedes that human reason. When you say, are you serious? That doesn't make sense. You say, well, that's faith. When it doesn't make sense, human sense, that is faith. And faith, beloved, is more than emotions and knowledge and wisdom. You see, everyone has a faith. Everyone has a belief. Let me use this as an example. The most ridiculous faith, evolution. Evolution, though a ridiculous, unstable, inconsistent theory, it requires more faith to accept and trust, etc., right? Like the primordial soup. You know what a primordial soup is? Right. It's a notion that when the earth was young, hang on, where did the earth come from? Sorry, we didn't think about that. Okay, it's ridiculous. So I need to have faith to believe because there's no proof. It's inconsistent. So when the earth was young, the oceans, what are you talking about oceans? Where did these oceans come from? The oceans were filled with simple chemicals important for life. Where do these chemicals come? You see what I mean? You've got the gist of it. Ridiculous. Inconsistent. Continuously changing. So what St. Paul is instructing us, in order to not to give Satan the foot for hole, is to gird our loins with truth. The truth that in the beginning, God, period. Don't text me and message me, but Rabbi, what about God, period? That is faith. You don't understand it, it's okay. Praise God. If it's not according to the human reason, praise God, because it's superseding human reason. The first and most important aspect, weapon, that we need to be armed with is truth. And we are to stand strong in order to avoid giving Satan a loophole. And that is believing in God. That is the truth. All else is from Satan. I don't care what color robe they're wearing, what color sash is around their waist, what type of crosses are in their hands or hung on their necks. The truth is God. All else is satanic. And it's from Satan. Now, you're probably saying there are so many gods and so many concepts, so many philosophies, ideologies of the true God. How do I know which is the truth so that I can believe and stand firm and have my power in it so that I can avoid Satan, so that I can avoid giving Satan a loophole? Well, it's very simple. See, on these programs, someone made this comment, I think, Adrena. Someone said that, you know, Rabbi, you keep it simple. That's right, because I'm not philosophical. I'm no academics. Listen, guys, you want to know what my academic level education is? Sydney people, contact St. John's Park High School. You know what school I'm talking about, or Fairvale High School, right? I have none. I like to keep it simple because it is the simple facts of Christianity. When we fulfill and stand firm in, we can be granted and graciously being granted the kingdom of God. Simple. I'm not here to philosophize and you know, use human reason. I have no time for human reason. I'm here with faith. I may not even be able to explain it, beloved. I may reply, I don't know, but I have faith, and I know it's beyond human reason. A simple equation. You want to know the true God, you want to know the truth, you turn to the only person that in the history of mankind, you go and read all of those so-called religious books of different faiths, interfaith. I despise interfaith, but let's not go there. Interfaith. Go and read all these books. No one has dared to claim this. And in the history of mankind, the one and true God spoke and said to one person that this is my son, the beloved, in whom I am delighted. Matthew 3:17. That is the truth. When he first appeared to be baptized at his baptism, it was an introduction. God the Father introduced God the Son. And then in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, there's an extension. This is my Son, when Jesus revealed his divinity, revealed his Godhead on the Mount of Tabor, there was a voice again that came from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am delighted. Hear him, listen to him. Our friends, the Muslim friends, if there are Muslims listening to this podcast, I welcome you and I'm glad that you are listening. And I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will somehow, according to his perfect will and timing and unfathomable, strength and timing and desire and will touch your heart. Our friends, the Muslims, was this said to Muhammad? Is there anywhere in your Quran that the heavens opened and God the Father, let's call him Allah for argument's sake, God the Father, Allah spoke and said, this is my beloved Son? No, don't even dare. Don't go to the Quran. Don't waste your time opening it. I'm telling you, there isn't. Our beloved friends, the Buddhist, did God say this to Buddha? Confucius, Rajneesh, Bhagwan, and all these faiths. No, one person and one person alone, and that is the Son of God, God incarnate. Praise be to his name, Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we know the truth. And by knowing the truth, we must gird ourselves. You know what that means? If you don't understand what it means to stand firm, go and read the history of your forefathers, beloved Assyrian brothers and sisters, from any faith, any denomination, right? Go and read the history of our forefathers who died for this faith. When the sword of Muhammad was placed on their necks, you know what they said? We will not deny Jesus Christ, right? This was simple faith. Yeah, they probably couldn't define grace, saved by grace. They couldn't define that. But one thing they knew, that they would never deny Jesus Christ. Simon denied him. Our forefathers didn't deny Jesus Christ. And that's how they knew the truth. And that's how they were girded by the truth to the point, to the last drop, to the point of the last drop of their blood, they didn't deny Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, and rightly so, only Jesus Christ has claimed in John 14:6. Now, this is the Pshuta version. This is the Aramaic. You know, I'm sorry to say, with all respects, and I'm not saying don't keep continue to read the scripture you have, but maybe you need to look for other versions. In the Aramaic version, it actually says, John 4:16, not just I am, I mean, yes, I am, ING. God said to Moses, go and tell them I am. No, Yahweh, but it's actually I am the living God. So Jesus is saying, I am the living God, the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to my Father but by me alone. You see, the Father, you see me, John 10. Everything that my Father has is mine, John 16. No one dared to claim this truth that we need to be girded by. So when you're giving Satan the foothold, it's most probably because you have no relationship. You're not standing firm on the truth of Jesus Christ. You're wavering. You're quick to compromise. You're quick to give away this truth and then follow other so-called truths. And then you're opened. You know, the door is open. The breeze is going to come in. That's when Satan comes and starts attacking. In many ways, he'll throw doubts in your mind. Well, you know, maybe Christianity isn't the only true faith. Yes, it is. Christians are not good people. Let me tell you that. Yes, I admit. I raise my hand, stand corrected. I'm committed. I'm convicted. I may not be a good and true and perfect Christian, but Christianity is true, perfect. No one from Christendom has come out of Christendom and when interviewed has said, Jesus Christ was a cruel Lord, hasli to say, taught division. No. But from other faiths, they come out and say, well, you know what? My faith was teaching murder and eye for eye and a tooth for tooth. So we need to stand firm in the truth that the one true God is known through Jesus Christ. And to stand firm, which means we believe, we have complete trust in, have unwavering confidence, assurance, certainty, consistency. You know, we mentioned it in one of the verses. How do we stand in this truth? Maybe in passing, maybe you just overheard it or got sidetracked or took a bite off the In-N-Out double-double or the vacuum cleaner hindered your hearing or someone pulled out in front of you and you're too busy trying to, you know, tell the person to be careful. Let me repeat it. How do I stand in this truth? Matthew 17:5, God says, listen to the Son. Listen to Jesus Christ. Listen to him to gain, to ponder, and put it in practice. Put that faith, that truth in practice that you are hearing. Right now, what you heard, you need to put in practice. Romans 10:17, therefore, faith is from the hearing of the ear, Shmetotnata, and the hearing of the ear is from the word of God. You're hearing the word of God. Once you have heard, you need to examine it now. You need to study it. You need to contemplate on it and ponder on it, which, on what you have heard. Not just send me a, God bless you, Rabbi, these are amazing. No, go. If you have time, once you finish your vacuum and your cooking, what have you, open the scriptures and start to read and examine what I have just told you. This is the way we are on a way, on the road, on the path to deterring Satan to take a foothold. We quote 2 Timothy 3:16, right? Every written which is written by the Spirit, every writing which is written by the Spirit, and the church canonizes which writings are by the Spirit, is profitable for teaching, that is, how to avoid Satan, for correction, correcting our ways, our thoughts, our understanding on how to avoid and flee from the devil, for direction and for a course in righteousness, that is the right path, which is opposite to Satan's evil paths, that the man or the woman of God will be perfect and perfected for every good works. Do it. You hear it, you examine it, you study it, do it. That's another problem we have. We want Bible studies. We want to be spoken about this type of topic and that topic and preach about this, Rabbi. Okay, fine. Yes, we'll do that. We are the servants of Christ, right? But are you doing it? We have 60-something episodes, right? We're on 66, right? Yes, you've heard all of them. Are you doing it? Sorry? Oh, well, I'm being modest. 67, right? Are you doing it? James 1:22, but be a doer of the word and not only a hearer and shake your hand and praise Jesus for these words. No, do it. Do not deceive yourselves, St. James says. And in chapter 1, verse 25, he continues, but everyone who gazes into the perfect law of liberty, hey, liberty is from God. It's not some political government that wants to give us and teach us liberalism. No, no, no. That's evil, by the way. It's evil because liberalism today is teaching me that your grandson, when he goes into the school, you're going to have a drag queen that's going to come and sit there and teach your son how to become a drag queen. That's evil. That's not liberalism, right? Liberty is from God, which means freedom, independence, the right to have a relationship with God. So everyone who gazes into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, continues, lives in it, does it, fulfills it, he is not a hearer who heard what is forgotten, but is a doer of the works, and this man shall be blessed in his work. Read the scriptures. Listen to the scriptures. Do the scriptures. Examine the scriptures. Jesus prayed for all of us, John 17:17, Father, sanctify them by your truth. What is the truth? Your word, himself, the word of God, Christ himself, praise be to his name, and the word that came and proceeded from his mouth is truth. We prayed in the beginning, sanctify our souls by your truth. This is how we can begin to practice, to battle against Satan, avoiding him taking a foothold. So girding ourselves with the truth of the one God through Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. And we say we believe in one Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father. What proceeded from the Father? Praise and glory be to his name, the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, one triune God. So put these things in practice, beloved. You know, sometimes people want their cake and to eat it as well. No, you need to take onus in your Christianity. Go back and examine yourselves to the scriptures. Go back and see if you truly understand and believe in the one true God. And how do you believe in that one true God? Through Jesus Christ and only through Jesus Christ. Don't worry about what the world is teaching and what some religious leaders are teaching. Don't worry about that. God will reward according to their deeds. You focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth. And the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised would send, and he would teach us the truth that proceeds from the Father. That Spirit that is in you, that will lead you. But you need to be attentive to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.